please be seated? I guess I'm supposed to hang out by the pulpit because my wireless mic gave out, so we don't need to worry about that, though, so I'll just hang here. I'll be fully concentrated, and we'll get crazy. You like getting crazy, don't you? Just go like this. Okay. People say don't encourage that in me. My son is called incorrigible, and it says do not encourage. Okay. All right, that's fine. I want to just look at the title today, Glorious Formation for Life. As I came up with that title, I thought, how am I going to work that in? Because I really like the title. It's kind of like coming up with your theme for some paper you have to do, and you come up with it, and then you go, it's really not going there. I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I thought, well, I'm going to change it. And then after a while, I realized, no, I'm not changing it. This really is where we're supposed to be. But what I want to do, because I had a really good time with these bulletin covers and the back cover, and right now, I'd like to look at the front and just read it. On my bad days, I seek you. On my good days, I thank you. On my great days, I praise you. But every day, I need you. Thank you, God, for always being there. Now, it's so fascinating for me to look at this. We have two texts today. One is out of Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 to 20. The other one is Psalm 139, some selected verses. But do you hear what it says out of Psalms? It talks about being like a person who is really fixed. You are a person that is planted like a tree, planted by streams of water. And of course, you're looking at Psalm 139, you're saying, I don't know where that is. Well, I have scoured through a bunch of other psalms as well, and this is out of Psalm 1. And it just talks about a person who meditates on the Word of God is like a person or a tree planted by streams of water. Is this something we long for? Probably not. Do you want to be a tree? After seeing the depiction of animate trees in one of the Lord of the Rings films, I thought, I don't think I want to be one of those guys. However, look at the calamity that's happening now over the forest fires and the loss of trees in our world, in the Amazon. Now Bolivia, forest fires there, 4.2 million acres, like what? The West Coast of the United States has fires every single year. Massive destruction, death, pollution. I've been through a number of those. You can hardly breathe sometimes going through it. Your eyes burn. Why should we care about that? Because trees are life. This isn't just, oh, Pastor Mark's a tree hugger. It's not a tree hugger statement. Trees are life. If you remember anything about your science classes in high school, biology, oh, you thought you wouldn't hear that word again. Remember studying osmosis? Remember how the leaves take in the sunlight? Oh, okay. It is photosynthesis, isn't it? Thanks. But hey, maybe I was going to say you slept through that lecture the first time. You don't want me to recap it. But maybe it was me that slept through that lecture the first time. I remember how fascinating it was, though. I thought it was cool. But hey, it's proven that trees give oxygen to this planet. And we need that element in our lives to live, to breathe. It gives us life. So hey, oh, I keep saying hey, don't I? This metaphor used in the Psalms is a big deal. We want to believe like a tree. We want to believe planted by a stream. And wait a minute, a stream. So first we're a tree, and now we're planted by a stream. But what is a stream? What is that all about? Well, we have oxygen now, so maybe we need not just O2, but H2O. And here we go again. We drink that clear, transparent liquid. It helps us to stay hydrated. We don't get dehydrated. Dehydration causes dizziness and vertigo, and then we go septic and so many other things. We can die without air. We can die without water. It also gives us life. And I won't say hey this time. There are fish in the stream. They sustain us. They give us nourishment. And the water also waters our fields, helps us raise our plants to eat. It sustains the fields, which feed our livestock. Okay, it goes on and on, right? It does. So the metaphor is incredible, is it not? Yes, we want to be not the tree. We want to be like that tree. We want to be like that stream. And we have many aspects to our lives. We have physical needs. We have emotional needs and even spiritual needs. How do we fulfill that? I've talked a little bit about the physical just now. But what does Matthew 4:4 say? A lot of you have it by heart. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is Jesus responding to the devil when he's being tempted. It is literally life for us. If we do this, if we respond to meditating, contemplating on the Word of God constantly, I would say it might be called discipleship. And I would even say maybe it's formation. If we do this for the rest of our lives, it might be formation for life. And like the title today says, glorious formation for life. I'm going to say, this is what we want. Just go, yeah, I want that. I want that. What accompanies these truths? Isn't it often a frustration due to our misunderstanding of the word? It's born out of our expectation that everything will now go well with our lives. You ever heard that? You're watching TV and there's somebody preaching there, and they say, man, just give your life to Jesus. It's going to be fantastic. Easy street. And that's that big disillusionment for us, because we get into it and we discover it's not always going right for me. Let's talk about that. Prayer for healing. We've just had a pastoral prayer. We're thanking the Lord for things, but we're also begging, beseeching, please, God. Prayer for healing. Sometimes a person gets better. That's awesome. But sometimes they get worse. More prayer, and then the person dies. What is that about? I know this has hit every single one of us in this room today. I know it. My latest is the news that Jory Fawcett, that wonderful person that I talked about weeks ago, and we went to California when I was gone. We went in with about 20, 22 people. We laid hands on her. We anointed her with oil, and we prayed for her healing. I am a man of faith. I know many of you are. I have prayed like this for people. They have been healed. I didn't do it. The Holy Spirit did it. But I believed that the Holy Spirit would do it. Yesterday, I got an email from my sister saying, Jory has 24 hours to live. I checked it this morning. She's still with us, but she is expected to go and be with the Lord within the next few hours. And
I'm just distraught over this. I asked the Lord yesterday, why can you not let me know with certainty when I can firmly pray for healing and when I need to just pray for comfort as the loved one passes? Have you ever had that frustration in your life? Oh, be healed. Or, Lord, we're praying for your will. You know, if it's your will, be healed. But, you know, if you're going to go, you know, we pray that everybody will be all right in the family. It sounds like I'm making fun of both of those things. I'm not. I am torn up about this. After I was asking that of the Lord yesterday, I felt a word from the Lord that, no, Mark, you would become an arrogant man if you knew everything. People would come to you. So have him pray. He's kind of with the Lord, you know. He knows what's going on. I think that's some of the danger with some of these faith healers. They have a hard time with that. I would know so much. The weight of knowing that much, I think, is only for the Lord himself. Yet, the more we delve into the scriptures, the more we know his spirit, and we know that he would like what he would like to have happen. We begin to understand in a new way. This would be praying with and in the spirit, would it not? I think so. I had another word last night. I thought I would write. Maybe Jory would see it. I'd write one more word to her. And I said, how is it that God takes some of us earlier than others? I told her that I want to ask the Lord that question when I get to glory. How come you took him, her? Why did you do that? How come some of us live past 100, like our own beloved Marjorie Cassidy? I mean, how does this happen? And I was brought to mind with a scripture that says, today we see through a glass darkly, out of Corinthians. But when we are with him face to face, we will see clearly. And I know that once we're there, what's going to happen? We won't even be able to ask that question because it'll just go, oh, glory. And you know what? We're just going to go, bam, to the ground. That's right. We're just going to fall to the ground. We won't be able to stand in front of that glorious throne. And it'll all be clear and understood immediately. Sorry if I'm getting all amped. I'm getting excited about this. Okay, that's just one of our areas, right? What's another one? Economic hardships. Oh, even loss of employment. Surely, why and how has this happened to me? I think it's happened to a lot of us. I think our own most vivid example, Courtney, my gosh, I've been dying over this. When I got word, Pastor Alicia texted me and said he's getting called back for a third interview, I started crying. And I thought, well, this isn't me, it's Courtney. And that's when I realized we're family. This is so important for all of us. And then I get the text back, he got it. It was all in caps. It's like, yeah, you know, gah, fantastic. A verifiable praise the Lord for his new job if I've ever heard one. I had to hold myself back from just applauding this morning in church. Why did he, though, have to work so hard and so long to get that position. I've never filled out that many applications or resumes or different kinds of resumes. I've never gone that hard and that long and that far. So many callbacks and then rejections. And what was that all about? And I'm sure I would encourage you to ask Courtney about it. He'll begin to tell you about his walking with the Lord through all of this, even in the frustration. How about another one? Feeling alone? So alone. You're not saying, I want to be alone. You're saying, I want someone to be around with me. Do you have feelings even of ending it all? You even think that the whole world is against you. The worst is that you feel that the God who created you and who you trusted seems to have abandoned you. And there are scriptures that speak directly to this. Deuteronomy 31:6, Hebrews 13:5, which pulls from that same verse. The Hebrews 13:5 verse comes right after speaking about finances, that God will never desert you. Like, hey, that's one of our things. And the Deuteronomy 31:6 portion speaks to his not abandoning you, his protecting you in dangerous situations. I would say that trusting in his word might be a new term called leaning into it. You hear that all the time now. Lean into it. I want to just look once again at our scripture text out of Deuteronomy 30, 15 to 20. It says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. And then he gives the converse. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship, then I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. Wow. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. And then he says, now choose life. Who among us would go, hey, I've got a chance for death and life? Ah, I'm going to pray about this because I'm just not sure which one I want. It's like, what? Wow, that was a little too hard. Incredible. I gotta ask if I want to live or die. Choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice. Hold fast to him. You hear this part? For the Lord is your life. Ah. That's like a mic drop time. Done. Right? Unbelievable. If the Lord is my life, that's all I want. I just want him, and I want more of him. He will prosper you. Immerse yourself in the truth of his word. And I'm not just talking about financially. I'm talking about every aspect of our lives. We looked at the front, now look at the back of the bulletin. When the sadness fills your heart, when tears flow in your eyes, always remember three things. I just love this. God is with you, still with you, always with you. He cannot deny himself. It is his nature. He loves you, he wants you, he desires you. He's not going to leave you alone. And now you go, yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is with us. God is with us. I remember my grandma Judith. She was also here when my grandpa was part of the pastor staff here. Grandma Judith, from 1929 to 1934. And during the last few years of her life, she had something I called her mantra. She would look at us as we came to her room in the rest home. We'd come to visit, and she'd look at us. And then she'd say, "God help us. God help us. God help us. God help us." Just over and over and over again. She said it a lot. And I thought it was the most beautiful expression I've ever heard. She went to be with the Lord when she was 94. What a great life. Now, I have some crazy thoughts today. One of them is that our lives are so full of highs and lows. How do we manage it? One of the things we must realize is that as Christians, we cannot always avoid every pitfall. Wait, what? Why did I sign up to be a Christian then? It's supposed to all be fantastic. Things can happen also to us just like everyone else. Yet it is the way we handle it that makes the entire difference. If we have that great and glorious formation for life, we will react in a godly way. If we always stop and think, what would Jesus do? Not trying to be a cliche here. This is truth. We will begin to act upon our lives in a what would Jesus do attitude in our lives. We will continually say, God help us. God help us. God help me. God go with me. God be with me. God in my lying down. God in my rising up. God in my waking hours. I mean, hey, oh, there I go again. What do we have in part of our scripture today? It was right at the back end of our Psalm 139 text. God says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Where do I count them? They would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you." This is also an admonition that God will never abandon, leave, or forsake us. There are other passages we could just do a whole word study on this. When David is saying, when I go down into Sheol, when I go down into hell, he's meaning when his life is absolutely in the pit, God is still there with him. So what exactly am I talking about? I hear that little guy in my head saying, "Pastor Mark, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about a love affair with your Creator. I'm going to say it again because it sounds weird, but it's wonderful. A love affair with your Creator. Oh. The only thing, the main thing, you should want in life, as you want life, is a relationship with God. It's the only thing that will bring true fulfillment. And once we reach that blissful feeling, we can weather any storm. We've been seeing a lot about the outcome of the Bahamian people as Dorian just wreaked havoc on those islands. One of the newscasters saw two men very close to each other, arm in arm, walking, and he went over to him. He's drawn to them. He says, "You guys must be brothers in the same family." And they said, "No. Here in the Bahamas, we're all family. We take care of each other. We just thank God for each one of us that has survived." And it's a huge statement because they say that 60% of the homes there were completely destroyed. When you walk with God, all you need is God. King David was in danger before Saul. He ran away and went to King Achish of Gath. He was there trying to escape Saul. And then he got kind of worried what this new king would do to him, so he pretended like he was nuts. For some of us, that's easier than for others. Cue maniacal laughter here. No. He actually made himself foam at the mouth a little bit so he would seem really crazy. And what did the king do? Get him out of here. He's freaking me out. After that, David sings the praise of the Lord. It's found in Psalm 34, 1-4. I had some dear friends called Dirk and Nedra Simon from First Covenant Church in San Jose. We knew when we were first married. They would sing the Psalter. And they wrote the tune to Psalm 34, 1-4. That psalm goes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. I don't know why I'm just about crying everything I'm saying to you. Is this a promise you would like to have? Oh, my goodness. Now that I've cried, let me see if I can sing this, because it's an odd cadence. It's an odd tune. It's something they made up. First time I heard it, I thought, what? But then it stuck. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in thee, Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. Amen. Maybe we should all say amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Yes. When we walk with the Lord, it's all we need. I added a little thing in today. It's not in your bulletin, but Stu put it in on the PowerPoint, if we could cue that, because I think it really speaks to this. And it is, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. I don't think I can help lead us through that, because I will be a basket case up here. But maybe all of you can be basket cases with me, and we'll just blubber and cry through this. Amen?
Amen.